The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. Let's think about this covenant. We covenant with each other. What is this new covenant? And what does Jesus have to do with it and what he says in the scripture we just heard? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your wonderful word that you give us, scripture that is multifaceted, that helps us to understand our world and ourselves, that helps us to contemplate and be renewed, and that we can rebirth and renew ourselves every year, every day. Help us to understand what we read today and be blessed by it. In your name we pray. Amen. This new covenant God talks about in Jeremiah, we have to kind of understand the first covenant and the many covenants that God made, starting with Adam and Eve leaving the garden, saying that there will be someone to redeem them of the mishaps in the garden. And then with Abraham, a covenant that said that Abraham would have many children that would fill the earth. And the covenant with the people of Israel when they left Egypt and were led out into the wilderness and then eventually to the promised land. God said that these covenants were broken, and yet that someday he would send a covenant that would be written in our hearts that we don't need someone to tell us about. So I guess I could walk out now and you guys would all already have it in your hearts, and you wouldn't need to hear me talk about this because you already have it. You have it written in your hearts. This new covenant came with Jesus. And this justice for the world and this judgment that Jesus was talking about was about grace and forgiveness, not about wagging a finger at all of you saying, look at all the bad you've done in your life. Grace is grace is grace is grace. God gives us grace to help us renew ourselves, to know that God is here all the time within us, around us, working through us. It's an amazing thing that we have this relationship with God, and sometimes we don't even know it. Sometimes it's in our darkest moment that we suddenly feel that little spark of something that lives inside of us that says everything is going to be okay. I love you. This new covenant that Jesus came to give was about the law. But if you read what Jesus says about the law, he says that love God and love your neighbor and love yourself are the things that the law teaches us to do. If we follow God's law in that way, then we don't have to even think about not killing our neighbor if we love them, not coveting our neighbor's things, not taking the Lord's name in vain, because if we love, we respect, and we live in that law. So God's law is now written in our hearts. But what does that mean to us? Does that mean that we can just quit going to church and quit having a space like this, quit being in fellowship? Maybe. Maybe if the whole world understood that God's law was written in our hearts and honored that, then we wouldn't need a place like this. We wouldn't need a sacred space because everything would be sacred. We would love our neighbors and we wouldn't need anyone to tell us to do it. But this is God's promise, that it will be written in our hearts. I feel like that. I feel like I knew that even when I was a little kid and nobody told me. I knew there was that God spark, that God was with me. But some of us don't know that. Some of us don't feel that. There's no emotional tie that says that God is right there. But even to the most unbelieving, unfeeling people, there are always those things that they can't explain in their lives that happen, that say that humanity cares for me, that there is a spark of goodness in the world. So what does Jesus' words have to do with this new covenant today? as we read in John. Jesus said his time is coming. He predicts his death. And he says, should I say to the Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven comes. John's gospel is the only one that tells about this. God says, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it and said, it had thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to them. So there isn't even a recognition when God's voice thunders from the sky. Different opinions, different ideas of what that really was came about. So how do we know this? How do we know this new covenant has come to be? As a Christian church, Easter is the very most important holiday that we have. Of course, we love Christmas because the newborn baby, this hope that we look forward to. Then we see Jesus die on the cross. But we already know the outcome of that, that Jesus is risen, that the idea that Jesus actually came back from the dead is what made this religion possible. If Jesus just died and never came back, what would this look like? There were lots of messiahs that were killed too during that time. Lots of people who said they were the Messiah, but they didn't raise from the dead, and they didn't talk to their disciples afterwards, and they didn't give the kind of hope that Jesus gave. This time of Lent is a time for renewal, for us to gauge what is written on our hearts. What do we know? What is inside of us that makes us come here week after week, that makes us believe and feel and act the way we do? What does it mean to have covenant with each other and with God? We wrote our covenant a year ago, and it's the way we live together and nurture each other in kindness and love and grace. And that's what God does for us too. Each one of us needs to feel that covenant ourselves, or that connection. Or else how can we rebirth something that doesn't already live within us, that hasn't already sparked itself somewhere? How can we be those seeds that die to the old life and live again in renewal? How can we live this covenant with God? Because we have a part in it. God writes it in our hearts, but we have a responsibility. We have free will. We get to decide whatever it is that we recognize in our lives, the good, bad, the ugly, the dead, the living, whatever it is we recognize, we get to choose that. We get to decide what our beliefs are. Now, we may have experiences that lead us into something that we feel is the best thing, but we get to choose if we even acknowledge those things that happen to us in our lives that are life-changing. So God says, I will give this covenant to the people. God covenants with us, and God keeps God's side of this covenant. God said he would send the Spirit. God said he would send a Savior from day one. As soon as people went a different direction, God said, I'll send someone to help you make things right in your life. And God sent Jesus to teach us, to help us, understand that loving each other, loving ourselves, and loving God are the most important things in life. Last week, when we had adult ed, we looked at Ecclesiastes, and Solomon says, everything is meaningless. Everything under the sun is like the wind. It's nothing, except our relationship with God. Between the lines and other places, he says, the way we connect with God is what's important. We can have riches, we can have fun, we can do all kinds of things in our lives, and it's all meaningless until we talk about relationship with God and each other. Many of us are mature. We have a few young people here. We've had a long life to understand that so much of what we thought was important in our 20s or even in our teens was the most important thing. Having money, having kids, all kinds of things in life. And later, we discover that having the kids was great, but we didn't even care about the money. Alex and I were so poor sometimes we didn't know where our next meal was coming from, but our life with our children and loving each other, those are memories that we share that we look back fondly at. At the time we thought it was horrible, but the relationship that we have with our children because we went through this great thing together and we loved each other through it, that was meaningful. We are a covenant people. We and everybody else out there. We are a covenant people with God, and God writes in our hearts what we need, and all we have to do is recognize it. That's why Lent is so important, because this is the time when we get quiet and we say, okay, God, what is it that you have for me? What is it that I'm missing in my life? How do I contemplate what is important and what is meaningless? We have on a board downstairs the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the, to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Isn't that a great prayer? Because it gets to the heart of what's in, deep inside of us. The wisdom to know the difference. There are so many things that we can change, that God calls us to change, or that we are called to do as people, because it's within our skill set to do that. We all have those things that we're called to do, and we can acknowledge that and be part of that, or we can choose not to do that. And you know what? God will love us either way, because grace is still grace, no matter what. But for us to grow as people and to learn, taking those things that we learn when we make mistakes and when we do things that pull us away from God, they can still be helpful. They can still draw us back into what's good. So we, like Solomon, can figure out what is meaningless in life and what is meaningful. Being in covenant is a recognition of each other and God, and how we're connected as a family, that we don't discard each other. Sometimes it's hard to be in covenant. Sometimes we don't want to follow the rules. And you know what? That's even okay. Decide you don't want to come to church? That's okay. It's okay. Everything that we do is okay because we learn from those things. And if we embrace this covenant life with God, then there's a peacefulness about it. A peacefulness that helps us to accept the things that we can't change. A peacefulness that draws us out of ourselves to change the things that we can. Let it be that in this covenant that we receive that wisdom that God gives us. That covenant that's written in our hearts, that connection that we feel with God. And if we don't feel it, let's long for it. Let's have a renewed day every day and ask for it, because it is there for the asking. Because God promised that. God promised it to peoples from the beginning of time, written in the Bible, to now, and still promises us. Every Lent, we can think about these things. We can hold on to it. We can feel it. We can know that it's within us. We're smart people, right? We're smart feeling people that come here for renewal, for worship, for connection with each other and God. As we do that, let us just know always that God is right here all the time. Amen.